Welcome to the Edinburgh Cider View. My name is Peter Stewart, a cider maker with Thistley Cross Cider, and tonight I have Neil and James in the basement of the Brow House, Edinburgh.
Thank you, Peter. Yes, this is the 10th show, the anniversary show of the Edinburgh Cider View. My name's Neil Caldwell. James Cocker, aka IT, is also here.
I am indeed.
And intermittently, Peter from Thistley Cross. Is that right?
It is, because we had a rather fun evening a couple of weeks ago at the Brow House.
But now we're going to record a slightly different 10th show. This will be a mixture of the present and the past and the future, because people listen to this at various times. Anyway, first of all, we'll start with the usual performance.
Yes, let's not mix things too far up.
We'll go into your fridge, IT. What's in your fridge?
So, in my fridge this week, we have a Dunkerton's Premium Organic Cider. Now, we've had a Dunkerton's before on the show.
We've had two Dunkerton's
this
before.
One is a medium sweet.
Okay.
We also have a... How do you pronounce that?
It's Welsh.
Yeah.
Gwanty Drig.
Something along those lines. Welsh cider. It's cider and blackberry. Now, this is the same company that does Black Dragon, I think is... I'm not sure if it's been mentioned on the show in the past. But
and it's also got blackberry in it, which brings back memories of the first show and Aspel's Perenelle Blush, which
well,
we didn't like.
Yes, hopefully this isn't going to be a repeat of the Aspel's Perenelle's Brush.
We're trying to link things in here from the 10th to the first show.
Let's see how we get on. So, what are we cracking open first?
Well, should we also say we've only got two ciders in your fridge because we've got a third cider.
That is true. There is a third special cider coming up later in the show.
Are we going to leave that as a surprise?
So, stay tuned.
Okay, so will we open the Dunkerton's Premium Organic Cider?
Yes, let's crack open the Dunkerton's.
And this is the medium sweet version.
Yeah.
Not 100% sure if it's the same version as before, but... Or the same...
I don't remember the Dunkerton's we had before being sweet, so I'm looking forward to trying this one, because I'm a fan of my more sweet ciders.
Yeah, and we did give the Black Fox Dunkerton's a good high grading.
Yeah, and I don't remember it being sweet. So let's give this one a taste. I like.
Yeah, it's good.
Next.
No. That's an interesting sort of full body. It's got quite a musky aroma still. Because I remember the previous organic one we had a musky note to it, but then it was musky and then it was overly dry. I'm not talking about Black Fox here, I'm talking about the previous organic one we had.
I know what you mean. It's a nice balance, this one.
Yeah, so that musky kind of thing counteracts the sweetness and gives you a nice overall full-bodied cider, you would call that.
Yes, with the risk of using my overly overused word.
It's different, isn't it?
It is a bit different.
So every single cider you try
no,
to use is different?
No, only the ones that are different. So different is a compliment when it comes to my cider.
And this one is different.
Describing.
And it's interesting.
Mm. Mm.
It does have a semblance of dryness to it, though, even though it is medium sweet.
It does.
Because of that kind of, would you call it muskiness?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying there. But it's a nice balance, because the medium sweet, it isn't crazy sweet. There is almost a hint of dry in there somewhere. It's almost, could you be just a medium?
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot, actually. I think that's the kind of cider I would like to have in a pub if I was out of an evening.
Yeah.
I would definitely... You wouldn't necessarily go for it every time, but if you're out of a Wednesday or a Thursday evening, something like that, you'd want that. If you found it in a pub, you'd be delighted to have it.
Well, yes, indeed. It's good stuff. So
probably struggled to find it in a pub, right enough.
Where did we get this one from?
I bought it today in my meanderings in Bruntsfield.
Ah.
I can't remember the name of the shop.
Poor show. So what are we thinking rating-wise? I'm heading towards an 8.
Yep, 8's a fair grainer. I'm tempted to go higher.
I'm going for 8.
It, even though it's very different to Cidra de Recoltante, it reminds me of it because of its kind of almost contrasting flavours.
Yeah.
And we gave that an 8, so maybe that is a fair grading.
I mean, the Henny's that we tried in the last show, we gave an 8.
Yeah, I prefer this to the previous Henny's we tried. I'm going to go 8.5.
Okay, I'm sticking with the 8.
So we've got an 8.25.
An 8.25, not a bad show from... Dunkerton's there. So, let's move on
then. Let's go to this blackberry
to
number.
This Welsh cider and blackberry.
Rather frosty looking.
Which,
well.
I left in the freezer a little bit too long, so it might be a bit too cold. I'm just going to finish up the rest of my Dunkerton's.
I can see this going two ways. First of all, it's the first Welsh cider we've had. And we're kind of overdue having a Welsh cider, so it's good that we're having the Welsh cider for the 10th show. And also it's got references to the first show because it's got the blackberry thing, which we didn't like. So I can imagine this going one of two ways.
Yes. It will either be, I don't like it, it's too sweet, or I don't like it, it's horrible, like Pernell's blush.
It is blackcurrant colour.
It is.
It's got a hint of some kind of, it's quite translucent as well. I'm getting a little bit worried about this.
I think the colour does remind me to Pernell's blush a bit.
Yeah, well.
Well, let's see.
It smells of blackcurrant juice.
I'm sensing there's going to be a little bit of a kind of bitter, kind of tangy taste in there. Maybe not. Let's give it a try. Ah, definitely better than the Pernell's blush. Maybe we're drinking it a little bit too cold, but...
Yeah, it's too cold. But I quite like it.
Yeah.
I quite like it, but it's not...
It's just... It's almost just blackcurrant juice.
Yeah. I think if it was less cold, we could give it a fairer assessment.
Okay. Should we come back to it at the end of the show when it's warmed up a little bit?
Maybe we should do. Oh, well, it's our 10th show. We can break the rules now, can't
we? Yes.
We will be breaking the mold in future shows. We've got themed shows and all sorts planned, haven't we, for the future?
We do.
I think for the 10th show, we're going to... We'll reassess this, because I quite like it. My initial thoughts were it's a little bit too much like a blackcurrant juice and not enough like a cider.
Mm.
It strikes me... It's not as bad... It's nowhere near your blackcurrant Herlinger.
No.
It's nowhere near that.
It's not, because it's not fizzy. Is
no.
It? It's still, which is unusual for a kind of fruity cider.
And it does have a cider body to it in the middle of it. It does hit the roof of your mouth and give you some kind of full body cider aspect to it. But it doesn't taste like a proper cider.
Yeah, I mean, it's very nice. For me, I think it's just too much like blackberry juice.
Yeah.
I'm not sensing much else there. I mean, I have tried Black Dragon from them in the past. And Black Dragon's... It's interesting, actually. The Black Dragon... Have you had Black Dragon?
I have,
the same company.
Yeah.
And it's a 7.2%. But it just tasted a bit...
A bit bland.
A bit bland.
Yeah.
There wasn't much to it. It was perfectly drinkable.
It was almost like the idea behind a cocktail whereby you're trying to take all the alcohol taste out of it.
Yeah.
So it's like they'd done that with a cider. I mean, maybe that's their intention. And it's still quite a nice drinkable drink, but it's... I think I'd take it something like the Dunkertons over it, that kind of model of cider any day.
Yeah. I know what you're saying there. Okay, so shall we return to this later?
Return to it when it's warmed up
When it's warmed up a bit, to see if that changes our thoughts. But initially, yeah, too much blackberry. So, as you probably gauged from the start of the show, we met up a couple of weeks ago with Peter from Thistley Cross at their launch party for the world's first commercial snake bite.
We did, yes.
Which we mentioned last show, I believe. So we were lucky enough to get an interview with the man himself.
Yeah, we snuck down to the cellar below.
We did, in the Brow House in Brunsfield.
And we cornered him. And we gave him some serious questions.
we did. We started off basically asking, why snakebite?
Why snakebite, yeah. We started with the banal question.
Peter, welcome to the Edinburgh Cider View. Thanks for the interview. We've got a cute few questions, but the first one is the obvious one. Why snakebite?
Why not? I think that the craft agenda is such that you have to work with the traditions that you've got, whether they're good or bad. You can turn perceptions on their head with the use of well-crafted products and good ingredients.
Now, you'll notice from Peter's answer to that question, he's quite a poetic man when given a microphone. And you will also notice in the future that he's fond of using a parable, would you say?
Yes.
So we'll see that he doesn't necessarily like answering questions in a straight fashion, and he can also sometimes be even more interesting off camera. We had to edit some other things out, but anyway, we'll see what the cider world's reaction to that was, or his interpretation of the cider world's reaction.
I've been completely blown away by the response. People absolutely love it.
Yeah. Well, we can confirm we love it.
Yeah, no, we do love it, yeah. It's been a long time since I've had a diesel, as we used to call them at St Andrews. But in some ways it would be good to compare the,
but that's
the
a good question.
Proper diesel to the...
Is this a diesel or is this a snakebite? Or is it a snakebite black?
It depends where you're from, Sorry.
Let the expert answer, right?
No, the expert claims no no authority in the matter. It's really opened up a huge semantic debate about what is snakebite. And I was just thinking selfishly when we put the blend together, I wanted it to have that tart blackcurrant thing going on, but I also wanted to call it snakebite and not snakebite in black. But looking at other parts of the country, people associate snakebite with something with blackcurrant in it, or potentially something with vodka. So,
yeah, that was those are turbo diesels. I think was turbo vodka diesel. Was what we used to call them. Because I looked it up briefly on Wikipedia before we came down, and I think it does vary depending on the parts of the country. In some places, it is just called snakebite, even with the blackcurrant. But some it's snakebite black, and then it's diesel. So yeah, it does vary. Uh-huh. But yes, no, we
this really like it was fans. It was purely an experiment. Now we know that there's a market for it, and that people are really interested in it, then yeah, let's create the world of the snakebite, and we'll document it and record it and publicise it. So if you can assist with that.
Oh, we will.
So as you can see, he didn't really answer the question as to what the cider world's reaction was. He said that people like snakebite. But anyway, he also said... Well, what did he also say? He also said that... we talked about the interpretations of snakebite and diesel and all the rest of it, and you decided that you knew more about it than he did.
Yes.
But we came to a conclusion that it's the world he's trying to create. It's all about the craft agenda and all that kind of stuff. And speaking of the craft agenda, he talked about he thinks his proudest creation is, the Jaggy Thistle.
The Jaggy Thistle, which we've been trying to track down for a while, because we've become aware of this cider that Thistle Cross have created called the Jaggy Thistle.
So we asked him if he had any.
And I was very intrigued because I'd heard that it was going to be available that night, and I was looking forward to getting my hands on some. So we did. We quizzed him if there was any around.
One thing that interested me, is there Jaggy Thistle around tonight?
Jaggy Thistle's still in the boot of the car. It'll come out to play in a wee while.
Cool, because I'd very much like to get my hands on some of that. That's from what I understand is your first cider that is basically completely camera, two camera specifications.
Camera real cider specifications.
We did, Jaggy Thistle's where we started. Many years ago.
Ah, right.
And we've revisited it now 5 years on because we're in a much better position to do so. We have access to wood, good quality barrels to ferment, mature, condition in, and we're in a position to be able to guarantee supply. And really, we're making this best farmhouse cider that we could possibly achieve. Very, very proud of it. And I hope that it does. It starts getting out and about, and people can try it.
Cool.
I mean, the cider that we're working with at the moment is a vintage cider. It's 2 years old. It's been in the oak for a year. It's got a huge body to it. It's almost got a sherry finish, and it's dry. But we talk about it as if it's made to the camera spec. But it's my interpretation of the camera spec.
Okay.
It's sort of whiter than white, realer than real. There's one or two anomalies in what the camera called real cider.
Yeah, I think there are a few grey lines.
That always happens in these situations. So it's my take on that.
So that was all very friendly and cuddly attempt at sort of interpreting what real cider was and so on. So I wanted to go a bit more controversial than that. I wanted his view on the big war.
The big war?
Well, you know what I mean by the big war, don't you?
Yeah, well, yes. The war between those people that think that people who like cider should only ever drink real cider.
Or the real cider Nazis, as I call
them. As the real cider Nazis, as Neil calls them. Or those that are just happy to drink cider for what it is, no matter whether it's complies with the real camera specification, etc.
But he had a slightly different take on it.
What's your view on the big war on Twitter, at least, that we see between what people define as real cider and the people that are so against anything that's not real cider?
Yeah, I'd like to say that I'd like to say that across the water in America, there isn't that debate going on, and that people are largely free to invent their own agenda and pursue it with integrity. That isn't the case, though. You know, we only get to hear about the good stuff. And I think within any kind of marketplace, there's going to be, you know, sort of, let's say, heated discussions. Actually, a lot of the new craft cider that's going on in the States, much more conservative than a lot of the makers in this country. They're harkening back to the way that things were done in the past. They associate the history of cider making with the history of English cider making, so they're being really, really super conservative. So somebody like J.K. Scrumpy, they're seen as being out on the limb, where, I mean, J.K., the guys there, they're making cider that's just incredible. There's nobody else making cider like that in the world. I think that every individual has the right to pursue their own path, as long as they do that sort of honestly and with integrity. And
make a good drink for people.
Yeah, I mean, we tried to build a real cider company up in Scotland, and at the time there wasn't a demand for it. We wouldn't have been able to build a business. We have the opportunity to salvage a fruit industry. People can maintain the orchards that they have. They can plant new orchards. They can we can offer an end point for fruit production in Scotland and the north of England. But we can only do that if we have a business to support that. So, you know, it's if you were to let the real cider world dictate your production, you're putting the cart before the chicken or the horse before the egg. So that's why we're kind of taking a few steps back with Jaggy Thistle, but in some sense, if you're new to Thistley Cross, then it's something special that you don't know that's what Thistley Cross can do and has done before.
So it's interesting what Peter was saying with regards to the whole kind of real cider, more traditional way of doing it side. It sounded like that's what he kind of prefer to do, but it just wouldn't be possible to kind of sustain it as a business.
Well, I thought it was more, he's more about the craft agenda. So he doesn't see it as real versus non-real. He sees it more about small companies doing what they want to do, trying to do different stuff for themselves and for people to drink. It's a kind of cross between craft and commercial is his.
Yeah, I suppose.
But to be fair, he rabbles on a bit. I mean, great guy to talk to, And he knows, obviously, he knows his stuff inside out. But he kind of meanders when he talks, and he's got different, because he's got the craft agenda in his head, and he's got the commercial side in his head, and these are the competing things in his head, rather than the sort of real cider versus non-real cider argument that we see.
Yeah, because it was interesting that the Jaggy Thistle was the first kind of their first project, the first cider that they kind of produced, and then they kind of realised that there wasn't a market for it, which is a shame in a way. And I'm not complaining, because obviously the other ciders, which have been the more commercial end of Thistley Cross, are amazing.
Yeah.
But it is a shame that there's just not that market for the more traditional, original kind of, whether it's to specification or not. And that's the interesting thing. And how can we make a market? Am I getting too deep now?
We are making a market.
Well, yes, that is our plan. That is our aim.
We're getting a wee bit serious now.
But I think we are. Let's move on. So we asked Peter next about the whole kind of fruit cider side of things, because there is the big boom in the whole Recordleg Copperberg fruity end of the market. So we thought we'd ask his take on that side of things.
It seems to be that, obviously, the cider market's growing hugely in the last few years, but mainly at the fruit cider end of the market. Is that the kind of route that you want to focus on, or do you want to focus on the real cider side, or somewhere in between?
I think the craft agenda is such that you can dictate. I think you have to be true to your own product. So of all the different ciders that we make, hopefully they're authentic within themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, the strawberry cider, it's hand-pressed strawberries. It's got a huge strawberry hit. But the ginger cider, it's a much more natural, smoother, fresher flavour. And it's not as potent as the strawberry, but it's a satisfying, pleasant drink within itself. I think that's what the craft movement's all about. You don't do one thing, and you don't sit within a box. You constantly reinvent yourself and be true to the to your own agenda.
We had some more stuff to say about the craft agenda, in particular what's going on over the other side of the Atlantic.
Yeah, I mean, in the States they have something called Sizor, because they have different rules about what is and what is not cider. So basically, if you put an additive in the cider that's fermentable, it becomes Sizor in some states.
Ah.
So things like honey, strawberry, it ceases to be cider.
Ah.
Something like elderflower, which is non-fermentable, that you can have an elderflower cider as such. And I think that's quite an interesting state of affairs. That to me is quite sort of inspiring. And I think we'll mix it up in that sort of way
okay. In
the future. That's you asked me a question, a direct question, that's my answer. I promised to keep mixing it up.
Keep mixing it up.
Sounds good to me.
It's a good motto.
Branching out.
It's a good feature in our podcast.
I understand, yeah.
Would you say it's your favourite feature of our podcast?
So far.
So, to keep mixing it up.
And branching out. Which,
yeah.
To be honest, is kind of like what we've decided the Edinburgh Cider Review is.
Have we?
We like real things, right? Because the good thing about Thistle Cross is they have real strawberries in their strawberry cider.
Yes.
They have real ginger in their ginger cider.
Yes.
They like to mix it up, but they still try to stay to what their agenda is. And I think
true. That's
what he's saying, that his craft agenda is. Stay true to your ideology, but use real things and don't try to imitate and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So let's not go by other people's specifications, that's what he's saying. Let's go by our specifications and keep it true.
It's a nice motto, keep mixing it up. I think it should be.
Keep mixing it up, but keep it true to yourself.
Keep it true.
God, this is getting far too deep now, isn't it?
Anyway, we asked Peter what his favourite Thistle Cross cider was.
My favourite Thistle Cross cider is basically any of the ciders with a little bit of Jackie Thistle in it. I've been, it's just nice to always play with the sort of the flavours and the dryness level. So I've been enjoying Jaggy Thistle with a little bit of apple juice in it as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So it's a nice privilege to be able to constantly blend. So I've been enjoying my dry Jaggy Thistle.
So it's interesting here, Peter talk about the mixing up of Jaggy Thistle with apple juice and things like that, just as his favourite cider. Something we should try, perhaps?
Aye, that's fine if you've got casks and huge barrels of cider in your shed that you can just go and mix up whatever you like at any one time.
True, there's nothing stopping us, though, grabbing an original Thistle Cross and sticking a bit of cranberry juice in it, or...
Different story, though, because he's just opening up a barrel of proper cask-strength cider.
Well, no, he was talking about Jaggy Thistle. He was talking about adding stuff to Jaggy Thistle.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should try it in the future.
Because we spoke about mixing cider before. That was more mixing cider, which I don't think is a good realm to be playing with.
Well,
but
that was way back in the day. We discouraged people.
But imagine,
From mixing their own cider.
But that's more mixing cider with cider. But if we take a good base cider, like your Thistle Cross... even without having to make your own cider to start with, we could play around with cider flavours. So we could make Thistle Cross flavoured with gooseberries, for example.
With gooseberries?
Yeah.
Right.
That would be... I bet Peter hasn't tried that one out.
I bet he probably
has. We should try it out, and then if it's good, we can take the credit for it. Anyway, we quizzed Peter a bit more about the commercial side of producing cider to the camera specification.
Yeah, we couldn't produce cider on a commercial scale to a camera specification.
Okay.
When we first established cider production in the Borders, very quickly, going to farmers' markets, Castle Street, you were working with what we were able to achieve in the cider shed at the time, and people's own expectations of what you did with cider.
Mm.
Now down south, there's that tradition, there's that unbroken lineage there. But up here, you know, cider's perhaps associated something with what your granddad did. Where did your granddad always keep his cider? But in the airing cupboard. So, you know, we'd do the farmhouse cider. It'd go out unpasteurised in the bag. Person would taste it, love it, take it home. Where do you keep your cider? Grandad always kept it in the airing cupboard. Put the bag of cider in the airing cupboard. Now, Grandad was fermenting his cider in the airing cupboard. And they'll be back next week going, by the way, there's the cleaning bill for my towel sets, and I want my cider replaced. So we had to take a few steps back, and that was quite a difficult time for us. It was a re-evaluation of what we were all about. But it did teach me that really important lesson, which is you're making cider for people to taste and enjoy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of cider makers are they have another way of coming at it, which is fine. But the other side of it is, you know,
you're like, making it for people.
To drink and enjoy and have fun with, and that's right.
I think there's two things to take from that spiel. One, if you're going to do the granddad recipe, make sure you take the towels out of the airing cupboard first. Secondly, and more importantly, cider is for people to drink, people to taste. So you have to bear that in mind. It's not just about adhering to traditions. It's what people will actually want to drink and will drink in the future.
Yeah, because he stops short, I think, of saying that the big commercial cider makers are almost in it for the money. Which you could kind of say with regards to your Magnus and Strongbow, etc. It's not about the drink there, is it?
No.
It's just about getting something commercially out there that people will drink.
Well, I think it just comes back to, in his head, he's trying to cross between the craft agenda and the commercial aspects. So what can he sell and what does he feel proud of making?
Yeah, it's finding the balance, which I think to be honest, Thistle Cross has done pretty well with the balance there.
Anyway, that's enough serious talk. We wanted to go more nonsense.
We did. So Neil had the great idea of having a quick fire round.
Yeah.
Which I think went down quite well.
Didn't quite work, though, as intended.
This is the nonsense part of the podcast.
All right, that's fine. Okay. This is now my favourite part.
Okay, French cider or English cider?
This is the quick fire round. English cider, peated single malt. French cider, Speyside, nice blend. I enjoy my peated Islay's.
Right, so you're drawing a parable here. Drawing a whiskey parable for the quick
round. That's right, yeah. So I drink a lot more French cider, but I really cherish and value English cider.
Okay, well, Norman or Breton cider? Is that even worse?
Normandy cider.
Norman, okay. Whiskey cask or original Thistle Cross?
Whiskey cask. Straight out of the barrel.
Favourite non-Thistle Cross cider?
Up in Scotland, it's very difficult to get good cider from down south. Sheppies do very well. They have a lovely range, single variety ciders, nice branding. They've got good distribution in Scotland, so you know, for your listeners at home, I'd recommend trying to find Sheppies.
Which one? Davenant Apple or the Honey one?
You're not going to pin me down that much. But then again, by the same token, my favourite cider would be, it's the Perry from, look it up in the email, on the internet, and it's Brook Farm,
that rings a bell.
That drink should be, if we were French, that drink would be £50 a bottle, but we're not, so it's about £6.99. It's the best £6.99 you'll ever spend on booze in your life.
Look for it. Brook Farm.
Don't quote me on that, but that's as far as I'm going to get right now.
That's Thistle Cross's recommendation.
Yeah.
Last quickfire question.
We're not doing very well with the quick fires.
It's all right. Somerset or Herefordshire is the last quick fire question.
I train down in Herefordshire, so I like my Herefordshire cider.
So we have looked it up, and we believe it is Brook Farm Perry that Peter was referring to.
Which is next on the hit list.
Yes, we
as
need
well
to...
As well as that Devonshire Red. Those are the two we need to...
Ah, yes, from the Independent number one list. We need to track that down.
Going back to the subject of Let's Branch Out, have you got any other recommendations for Let's Branch Out? Obviously, your Snakebite is the perfect Let's Branch Out, but we're kind of running out of things.
We'll give you the criteria. It's a drink that's not cider, not beer, not wine, not spirit, but which cider drinkers might enjoy?
Well, there's a Wassail Ale, which we will be pursuing with Tempest, which again is a mix of apple and beer, and that's a little known drink tipple. Obviously it's seasonal, it's got its own time of year that you would drink it, and it's got its own aesthetic. It's quite a thick, heavy drink. Mead still blows my mind. I love my mead. Got very pleasant memories of hanging out in a medieval fair in France, in Aubigny-sur-Nair, and just getting very, very pleasantly high on a spiced mead. That was all herby and sweet and spicy, and you know, I mean, there was a lot of floral qualities that you would associate with beer, but they were in the mead as well. That was very, very
so
special.
Mead is the next thing for us to look at.
We'll have to track down some mead.
So mead, we need to find some mead.
We do,
as well as Buckfast.
Why are you bringing up Buckfast?
Well, because we're talking about Let's Branch Out, and you suggested in the past that we give Buckfast a try for Let's Branch Out.
Yeah, well, we have had that suggestion. We probably will at some point in the future, but I wouldn't like to bring it up in the same conversation as having mead. Having mead and having Buckfast is a different conversation.
Well, not when they're covering the same feature.
Well, they're
the
both branching out. Anyway.
Yes, that's where the link goes.
Anyway, what's next for Thistley Cross? That was our final question.
We did decide to leave them with the big question.
Last question. What's next for Thistley Cross? Just the short question to end.
What's next for Thistley Cross? Yeah, we're off to America in the summer. Probably go to America in October now, as the summer's hotting up. It's going to be a wild summer. Really looking forward to taking Thistley Cross out on the road.
Nice.
To some brilliant festivals.
The Thistley Cross road trip, isn't it?
Neudart Festival, which is sold out in April on the Argyll Peninsula. But I thoroughly recommend Insider Festival, with tickets come on sale next week. Thistley Cross will be there in force this year again. The Insider Festival just outside Aviemore, it's immense. I'm dedicating my summer to working very, very hard and then representing the brand.
Just doing inverted
commas. at these wonderful bespoke, funky little festivals around Scotland. I mean, Kelburn, lovely guys across there, doing the Rabbit Hole. An Audio Soup this weekend as well, which is celebrating the equinox. They'll have a lovely East Lothian festival in September. So yeah, America and lots and lots of festivals.
Sounds a plan. So is Thistley Cross coming back anytime soon? Thistley Fest, you know?
Thistley Fest. Yeah, I think that's with dedicating the summer to attending as many festivals as possible. That's what we're going to focus on this year.
Cool. Okay.
And we'll do Thistley Fest next year.
Right, sounds a plan. Cool.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
My pleasure, thank you. Very nice to meet with both of you now. It's been great.
So, some initial excitement there when Peter mentioned the Insider Festival. We thought, ooh, Cider Festival. But we're a tad disappointed to find out that it is a music festival that Thistley Cross are going to be attending. Still, it's probably going to be cool. But
I'm sure it's worth attending.
But isn't quite the cider festival that we first initially...
We had distinct images of.
I thought. So Thistley Fest next year, I think, sounds fun. We do need to get down there one of these days.
But that was our interview with Peter.
Yeah, good guy. Very informative. He could talk forever.
Unfortunately, probably the best stuff was when he was not being recorded. We had lots to say about it.
Well, later on that night, after we'd all had a few pints of the old snake bite.
Yes.
Which I think apparently the snake bite on tap there was a little bit stronger than the advertised 5.5%, apparently.
Ah.
So
well, you shouldn't
that might explain some things. So moving on. We actually return to my fridge.
We return to your fridge? Well, should we return to your fridge first here?
In a bit of a special way. Yes, that's true, actually. So
this is warmed up.
Earlier, we were trying this Welsh cider and blackberry. And we thought that it was a little bit too cold, so we were going to give it another chance when it had warmed up a bit. So what are we thinking now that this is closer to room temperature?
Yeah, I prefer it now. It's actually quite nice.
It is nice.
It's quite a balanced fruit flavor.
It does. I think it possibly that the coldness of it before was possibly removing a little bit of the flavor, but it's still very blackcurranty.
But it's not blackberry. It's not overly powerful. Like it's, I would want to give that something like a 7, but then I compare it to other fruit ciders, and it's better than that.
Yeah, because it's not crazily sweet like some of the fruit ciders, but it's not the kind of wrong mix of proper cider and fruit that we've seen in things like Aspel's Paranel's Brush.
Oh yeah,
and even I don't think we've mentioned it in the podcast before, but we didn't even get on with the Thistle Cross Elderflower. It was too much of a mix of both.
Yeah, it was too sweet.
Yeah, but this is extremely drinkable. Nice as a fruit cider.
To be honest, this is a bit like what Peter was talking about with having jaggedy thistle with fruit.
Yeah,
and then that's what I'm kind of seeing with this. I would give that a 7.
Okay.
Bearing in mind that we've probably overgraded some of the previous fruit ciders.
True. True. No, I think I would go for a 7 as well. So that works quite nicely.
It's nice, that.
It's very drinkable.
So, bang, 7 out of 10.
So 7 next. Out of 10. So for the one we can't pronounce. So, into the third and final cider in our fridge, which is a bit of a special one here.
And it's not in your fridge.
Because while we were at the Brauhaus the other week, eventually we got Peter to go and get the Jaggy Thistle out of his car.
And he gave us a free glass.
He did give us a glass of it. So we both headed down to the cellar to give it a try.
So first in the fridge, or it's not actually in the fridge. Well, should we say, me and IT have sneaked back down to the cellar. Peter from Thistle Cross gave us a wee glass between us. So we have to share one glass of Jaggy Thistle.
A Jaggy Thistle,
and which is... How long have we been wanting to have
this? We have been wanting to try this for quite some time.
At least a year.
It's Thistle Cross's camera specification cider.
Okay, and I'm getting the first taste. Between
yes, go on, try it first.
Now, I don't have the best sense of smell, so I can't give the floral. I mean, Peter described this as a palate cleanser, didn't he? But I think this is going to be drier than the normal Thistle Cross.
Yes, expect it to be dry from what I was hearing. And we're not necessarily a fan of completely dry ciders, so.
Oh, that is good.
Ooh.
That is very, very different.
Is it dry?
It's a little bit dry. It's medium dry. It's definitely medium dry, if I was to describe it.
Let's give it a sip. You're not having a second sip. Let me have some. Let me have some.
Okay, IT gets a go. I should say, I also got a half pint of Tempest here that I didn't bother to pay for.
Ah.
So what do you think of that?
Ooh. It's very flavoursome.
It's definitely... That's why I think it's a... I'm going to have another try here.
It's very different to any cider that I can even think of.
It kind of tickles you all over the place, doesn't it?
That aftertaste is... really different.
It's very clean. It's very clean, but it tickles you all over the taste buds. It's got a bit of sour, a bit of sweet, but it's got a dry taste at the end. But it's almost like a fine wine.
Mm.
A fine wine.
It is very, yeah, it is winey in a way.
So that's Thistle Cross Jaggy Thistle. Where are we putting that on the cider league? Are we putting this in the cider league?
Because
technically it's not in your fridge, so... But we're standing in a whole fridge as well, downstairs in the cellar, which is amazing, by the way.
Yes, it is pretty cool down here.
It's mainly beer, so it suits me more than IT.
How many types of beer would you say were down here?
Thousands, and I'm not joking. So you come to the Brauhaus, the cellar's amazing.
There's a lot of beer.
Somebody's coming down.
I think, anyway, I think we're getting visitors.
What grade do we give this IT?
Oh, it is good.
Peter's just come down here.
So, basically, how do we compare this to the original Thistle Cross? Because that's up there on our list.
I prefer that to the original, but I still prefer Thistle Cross. Whiskey cask.
Okay. What did we rate the original?
9.5. No, we rated the original 8.75, and we gave Whiskey cask 9.5. I'd say that's 9.
You're saying that's 9? I'd agree with you on 9.
Yeah. I'd maybe even go 9.5. I'll go 9.5. You can go 9.
Oh God, we're even disputing the scoring in the cellar.
9.25.
Apology if the sound quality is not quite up to scratch as well. It's I can't say I've ever recorded in the cellar before.
Yeah, if that was the cider on draft in any pub, that's the one I'd go for.
Yeah, it is good stuff.
If you had this on draft and JK's on draft, you would be.
Oh, I'd be in heaven. I would be in heaven.
So all in all, a good fridge. If we take out all the fridges that we've sampled cider from. A good choice of cider for the 10th show.
A nice wee three numbers, I think. A fruity one, which we actually liked. The Dunkertons, which was a sweet one that wasn't that sweet, but was extremely drinkable. and the good old Jaggy Thistle, which I think was well worth the wait.
It was worth the wait. And if we ever see it, we're going to drink it, because it's a fantastic drink.
It is. And actually, while we were down in the cellar,
we'd had quite a few drinks by this stage, and we were just left in the cellar.
Anyway, what's next in your fridge, IT?
Well, it's not necessarily my fridge, it's the brew house's fridge, isn't it?
What's next in the brew house's fridge? Well, it's stuck in.
I've just got them to put in a couple of bottles of JK's Scrumpy Cider, so I will very much be looking forward to getting stuck into that we reviewed a few shows ago.
The fridge up the stairs. The world's fact, oysters.
Yes, that's true.
Here.
Neil, what's in the cellar?
What's in the cellar? Everything.
Now, from what I hear, it's just beer down here. Other than a few big kegs of...
Look at this, though. Look at this.
Is that white? No, it's not white. The bottle's white.
It's some sort of... It's got an elephant in the front of it.
Don't you dare drop that.
I won't drop it. Well, it's strong beer. That looks interesting.
In a white bottle. There's a beer up there called Oaked Arrogant Bastard Ale.
Aye. Anyway, I'm drinking Tempest as well. Tempest is the beer that goes into Snakebite, which we'll talk about later in the show.
Which, according to Neil, is a good beer.
It's good beer. I'm not joking. This is an awesome beer. We need to speak to the boys from Tempest as well, because I know you don't like beer, but this is top quality beer.
Okay.
In fact, you would like it. Try it.
You reckon? Can I have a sip?
IT's going to try some beer.
I'm going to try some beer.
IT doesn't like beer, but he's going to try this taste.
Listeners, this will either be good or it will just taste like beer. Ah.
You quite like that, don't you?
That's good beer.
It's good beer. It's good beer. Right, that's enough for your fridge this week.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll go up and record some Vox Pops for the show.
Yes, let's leave the cellar.
Oops.
Hold on, we should take that glass up. Farewell.
So, yes, as you can tell, we'd had a few to drink by this point.
And we'd explored the cellar. We'd explored the upstairs and the downstairs of the brew house. So it would seem only fair if we reviewed the brew house.
Yes.
As a pub review.
Yes.
This week. Now, this is difficult because usually we give cider marks and then we talk a little bit about the pub.
Mm.
But the cider they had in the pub was pretty much just Thistley Cross. And I think just because they had the promotional event for launching the Snakebite. So what do we give them for cider marks? Because they had Jaggy Thistle, they had Snakebite.
I don't think we can give them cider marks because we don't know what cider they have on an average night. JK's seemed... I think they probably would have some kind of Thistle Cross or JK's, but they are definitely a beer pub. They have a beer menu.
And they have a hell of a selection on the beer.
Saw it. That's why they have an actual menu dedicated to just the lists of beers in the cellar.
A European... beer-style pub, I would say.
Yeah,
it's quite a small place.
It is small.
But it's got a quite nice feel to it. It's a nice place to go of a Thursday evening. We were there for a Thursday evening.
We were.
I mean, it's the kind of pub, it would probably suit me more than you because I like beer and I'd be tempted to try different kinds of beers.
Yeah.
Because you're not so much of a beer drinker. Although you did like the Tempest beer.
Yes, no, I did like that, actually. Not being a beer drinker, I have still sampled beer over the years, but that was drinkable as a non-beer drinker.
And it had different things going on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We would recommend the brew house, maybe not so much for cider drinkers, ironically.
Well, I think we have to reserve that judgment until we go back again on a normal night and see the kind of ciders they have on, if any, to be honest. But I think they would have some decent ciders on. If they're going to have ciders on, they're going to be decent ciders.
But knowledgeable bar staff that would let you know what, even if you were not a beer drinker, what you might like if you are a cider drinker. So I would definitely recommend people go to the brew house.
Yes.
Even if their cider selection isn't the best that we have seen in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a nice place. But we'll certainly have to go back there and check out what a typical cider selection is.
We will do. Now, we've not done cider news. We've done our pub review. Usually at this stage we would branch out. We are going to branch out. In some ways this is the highlight of the podcast.
Yes, because as you can tell, the whole event the other Thursday was to do with Thistle Cross's Snakebite, which, as we'd previously commented, was hopefully going to be the perfect branch out for our show. Now,
indeed.
Due to the nature of the event, we actually got supplied with several pints of this amazing Snakebite. It was getting a wee bit later into the night, let's say.
And we made friends with the official Thistle Cross videoer.
Well, yes, Chris Bain, great guy, was taking some videos of the night. And he offered, or we more kind of persuaded him, to record us doing our Let's Branch Out feature for the show.
And he did this on a video,
so
which we're going to put on the website.
We will probably put the video on this on the website. So just as a warning...
And it's worth a watch.
Just as a warning in advance, we, especially Neil, are pretty, well, we're getting there.
We'd had a few at this stage.
It's probably quite obvious. But anyway, let's branch out at the Brow House.
So let's branch out. IT, we're here. We've had quite a few drinks already.
We have.
But we're now going to have the proper Let's Branch Out feature of Snakebite. Thanks to Chris here with his camera. Thank you, Chris. Nod your camera.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Anyway, so the whole point of us coming here tonight was to try Thistle Cross's Snakebite.
With Tempest.
With Tempest, which is the world's first commercial snake bite.
And it's a f***ing good snake bite.
And Neil's already had a sip here, and it's possibly a little bit wasted.
Oh yeah, I'm wasted. But it's a very good snake bite. And to be honest, I would recommend this more than any other branch out drink that we've had on the show. And this is our first video podcast.
We haven't even tasted it yet. Let me taste it.
Okay. I tasted it.
So, snake bite from Thistle Cross. It's good. It's not like your normal snake bite. It's like premium snake bite.
What do you mean normal snake bite?
You can't actually, if you hold it up to the light, you can't see through it because of the blackcurrant. And it's not too, I was worried it was going to be too kind of beery and have too much of a beer taste to it. But actually, it's
because
a very
you're
nice,
not a beer drinker.
No, I'm not a beer drinker. And it's a very nice balance. It's got the advantages of beer, but with the majority of the cider and a little bit of the blackcurrant, I think it works well.
Well, I'm a cider fan, I'm a beer fan, and I like it. I like it because it's got a very good balance, but it's not too overpowering in either sense. So we recommend the Thistle Cross Tempest Snakebite collaboration.
I believe it's only available on draft, so if you do spot it out and about, give it a go.
Come to the Brow House.
It's worth it.
Come to the Brow House and try it.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be on the Brow House all the time. I think
it's on draft here. It must be.
Yeah, that's because it's the launch night.
Anyway, thank you for listening to the Edinburgh Cider Review, the 10th show. We'll see you for...
That'll do.
So, I think we just leave that there and move on.
Well, we only need to wrap it up. I think even then I was about to wrap up the whole show.
I was quite impressed that you managed to remember to mention that it was the 10th show, to be honest.
That was the 10th show. In fact, do we have any correspondence we need to discuss?
I don't think we've got time for this week. We are kind of, it's probably the longest podcast in record under the Edinburgh Cider View. I think we should mention the Edinburgh Cider map that we launched recently on our website, and also thank Graham for his suggestion. We forgot to thank Graham last week because he actually emailed in to suggest the Edinburgh Cider map a good few episodes ago. So,
and it's been a successful launch.
It has.
Needs to be updated though now. It needs to be updated with a few others that we've been to since.
Does it now? Well, it's being updated all the time. So please get on to the Edinburgh Cider map and suggest your Edinburgh Cider pubs.
And I think we should give a wee preview as to what will be going on, because now we've done 10 shows.
We have.
We thought we might mix it up a bit, keep it in tune with Peter's cider philosophy. So we're going to have maybe thematic shows in the future, and we'll even say episode 11 might be... have a wee French flavour to it.
Well, that is currently on the cards.
So keep in tune for what's going on the Edinburgh Cider Review. And keep your suggestions coming in. Please send us your thoughts, your feelings. Leave us a review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at ciderview.com. Send us an email at theorchard@ciderview.com.
Yeah, close enough. You're saying a lot of .coms, but Twitter's at ciderview.
Yeah.
But check out ciderview.com for everything you need to know. Anyway, until next time.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you soon.